Howdy. We're not in Texas. I just felt like I needed to say that. My name is Josh. If you're just now coming into the service, if you're online watching, we know that some of you just come for the music, so stay. And some of you are just joining us online, so you stay also. We're thankful that you're here. And if we have anyone in the overflow rooms, we're so thankful. We do have people serving with our kids right now. So birth through sixth grade, and I'm just thankful. If you have served with our kids ministry, if you're planning to serve next week, you are making an incredible difference. So for our servers or for our volunteers who watch this later, we just want you to know we're thankful for what you are doing and the life that you are changing as you share the Christ with our young ones. Every single year, we have boys and girls that follow Jesus Christ because of people like you that are teaching stories about Jesus and how he loves them. You're making a difference, church. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for loving our community. So today, again, we are continuing our message in Timothy called Faith Over Fear. And last week was just an incredible time of worship. And I believe that I hit a chord with most of us because I had more texts and more calls and more emails about last week's message than probably the whole year combined. It was on contentment. Because I think every single one of us at different points in our life struggle with being okay with what God has given us. And I think there are points in all of our lives where we just cry out, God, if I just had this. And the Lord's answer is, well, you have me. But Lord, if I just had this life, or if I had this relationship, or if I had this bank account, and God is saying, but Josh, you have me. What more do you need? Today we're going to look at fighting the good fight. And I believe what Scripture says, that where two or more are gathered, God is here also. So he is dwelling within us and through us this morning. And as we meet every week, this is our prayer. We say this constantly, that if you are in Christ, that you leave here encouraged and challenged. And if you are not in Christ, that you leave here saying, those Christians are a peculiar bunch, but they have something I don't, and I want that Jesus. See, the gospel is simple. It is Jesus in your place, as we've already sung. Years ago, I spent 4 months in Peru as a semester missionary. Towards the end of my journey there, we had to go to the southern district of Peru, an area that bordered Bolivia, so northern Bolivia, southern Peru. We didn't know at the time that when we began this leg of our journey that the southern part of Peru was in rebellion against the government because of taxes. We also didn't know, or I didn't know at this point, that the way that they protested the government, they would blockade the highways and the interstates with large boulders, which is not the best if you're traveling. So we travel towards southern Peru, and at the middle of the night, I feel the bus stop. So, well, we're just resting. So I went back to sleep. That morning, we wake up, and I realize that we are stuck in a procession of other vehicles along the interstate because the villagers were boycotting the excessive, in their opinion, the excessive taxes on utilities. Now, as we stayed there for 24 hours, we began to grow weary. We began to grow angry. Some of us, not me, of course. And we found out that for lunch, because we didn't have anything to eat, for lunch, the villagers would cook and they would sell us lunch because they had a captive audience. So we would go, we were stuck in the day, and we would go and just discuss with them and talk with them. So after 48 hours, people who were traveling on the buses on the highways realized that we outnumbered the villagers. So the passengers outnumbered the protesters. And so our bus driver, this is all in Spanish, of course, he said, I'm going to go out and talk to them. I don't know what happens, but in that moment, as we're looking out the window, everything eroded into chaos. 500 or more passengers, 300 villagers began to collide. Rocks were thrown. Every window on our bus was destroyed. Our bus driver came back with lashes on his back. They had whipped him with something. To this day, I don't know why the fight started. And to this day, I don't know who won the fight. All I know is I made it out alive as probably the only gringo in a group of thousands, which was by God's grace, in my opinion. Why do I tell you that story? Well, because I believe there are times that you should stay on the bus and not fight. And there are times where you need to get out of the bus and fight good fights of faith. But how do we, as people of God, know what fights are worth fighting? I believe one of the greatest deceptions in this world is that the adversary has told many of us, here, fight this battle. And God is saying, Josh, that has nothing to do with eternal matters. It's not a battle of faith. Stay on the bus. Some of you need to get back on the bus today because you're fighting battles. You have no business. You are coming in whipped and beaten and torn up. And God says, I told you, stay on the bus. But the great lie again of Satan is that many of us are to engage in battles of faith, and we are content to stay silent. Today's message is very simple. Win the battle of faith. And I've titled it this way. Some fights are worth fighting. Some fights are worth fighting. I don't believe I did anything illegal in the riot in Peru. And I don't believe that any government agency in the world is looking for me. I just want to say that. I was in the riot, but I did not instigate it. I was a passenger. Sometimes you got to stay on the bus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor in a church in Ephesus. And he says this, beginning in verse 11, chapter 6. He says, but you, man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue endurance, and pursue gentleness. Pause. So the people of God are commanded to pursue gentleness. And in the next verse, this is what we're commanded. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. So I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and the only sovereign. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords, who is alone, immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Church, some fights are worth fighting. Let's pray. Father, we need your wisdom. We confess to you right now that sometimes we are involved in quarrels and in skirmishes that are not of faith. They're more to do with our preferences and our opinions, our traditions. Lord, forgive us when we are fighting when we should not be. Help us pursue gentleness in those moments. But Lord, we also know that the great adversary has shut us up when we should not be silent. So Lord, help us fight the right fights. Help us fight the good fights. Help us fight the fight of faith. Lord, help us not be silent when we should be shouting the good confession. Lord, may we not be cowardly today, but may we live by faith and gentleness through the Holy Spirit as we lay hold to eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, show us today which fights are worth fighting. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In this well-known passage, Paul is addressing the church, and he's saying, do not forget to fight. Now, some of you are thinking, he told us, let's go. Let's fight. Let's get into this. But it's not any fight. God doesn't say, just go fight. Some of you are brawlers. And some of us are cowardly. Some of you would just rather flee. But God doesn't say, go fight. He says, go fight the good fight. Not only the good fight, but the good fight of what? The good fight of faith. The Greek is agonisu. It's the word that we get our English to agonize, which means to struggle or to wrestle. It's like some of our college students agonizing over a final exam. Or it's our business owners wrestling over a difficult decision. This is what God is saying in our life. Listen, there will be intense physical and mental anguish for the sake of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth agonizing about. It's worth fighting for. It's something you need in your life. This is what Paul reminds us of. Listen, faith is not a joke. Faith is not something that you just claim when times get difficult. Faith is not something that you hold on to when your team is down 7 and there's 2 minutes left in the game. Faith is not a token. Faith is not a get out of hell free card. Faith is serious. Faith is worth the struggle. Fight the good fight of faith. I believe some of us need to hear that. Because there are times where we would just rather stay on the bus and let other people fight for us. And God has not called his people to be cowards. He's given his spirit within us that we might fight this good fight of faith, that we might live a life of boldness in Christ Jesus, that we might take hold of eternal life. Why? Why are we to fight the good fight of faith? Because Jesus Christ is worth it. If there is anything worth fighting for in your life, it is Jesus Christ. He alone is worth it. And the reminder in our lives, whether we close our eyes or not, is that we are in a battle. There is a fight, and this the present imperative here is that you are constantly fighting. He doesn't say just fight it one time and retire. He doesn't say fight it until you get 65 and then enjoy the good life. Students, he doesn't say wait till you're 18 and then start fighting the good fight of faith. It is a constant fight in your life, and it is a fight worth having, and it is a fight, as we will see later, a fight that can be won because of the power of Jesus Christ living in you and through you by the Holy Spirit. We are in a battle. The struggle is great, but the fight is worth it. Fight the good fight of faith. So I just ask you right now, are you ready to start fighting? Are you ready? Some of you say, no, not. It's worth it. It's commanded in the Word of God. So let's talk about the battle now, right? We are commanded to fight. So where does the battle begin? That's a great question. Well, look at the next verse. It's verse 11. We're going to skip to the previous verse. He says, but you, man of God, and that's the only time this word is used in Scripture, by the way, in the New Testament. It's used often in the Old Testament. Elijah was called a man of God. Others were called Jeremiah, the man of God. But this is the only time in the New Testament it is referred to anyone. So he says, Timothy, man of God, this is where the fight begins. He says, flee. Flee these things. And any good student of the Word of God would say, okay, I have a question. What things? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. In the previous section, Paul has reminded the people of God that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evils. So he doesn't say that when you love money, it's the root of my evil. The Bible says that the love of money in your life is the root of your evils. And so here's where the battle begins. You ready? right here in your heart. Some of you are ready to fight, and you say, you point that person out, and I will fight that person. Okay, here we go. You ready? Here's the person. Point to yourself. Like, the battle begins here. Not on Facebook. The battle doesn't begin with Twitter trolls. It doesn't begin with Facebook. It doesn't begin at work. The battle always begins in the mirror. Because the deepest battle that you and I have is the internal war with our sinful and selfish desires. So how do we wage war with our hearts? How do we wage war for the things that are constantly taking root in our lives? It's very simple. God tells us to flee. Get out. It's as if God is saying, hey, your house is burning down. And we say, well, God, what should I do about it? What should I do about my house when it's burning? You know what a fireman's going to tell you? Get out. Run. Flee. That's how we should treat our sin. It's this idea that when you run away, that you will find safety. But running away quickly is not the answer in itself. Some of you right now need to understand that you are battling and you think that if you continue to play with your sin, it is no big deal. Sin will destroy your soul. There is no sin that is too small. There is no sin that can be minimized. And Paul urges Timothy, he urges the church. He said, when there is sin in your life, run away. When you love money too much, run away. Give it away. Flee that. Church, there is a daily battle for your heart. And to love sin is to hate God. When I choose my sin, I am saying, God, I hate you in this moment because I love this false God. So where does the battle within start? Right here. Never stop running from your sin. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Flee sin. You say, well, how long do I need to do that? Yes. Well, can I give up? No. Run from sin. Flee from sin. But that's not the whole equation. Not only do we flee our passions and our evil desires, it's not enough to run from. We should do what? We should pursue something else. So when you run from sin, you are now running to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. This battle within. Flee from these things and pursue. Pursue what? Pursue righteousness. Being made right. How do we become righteous? It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we become right. Pursue that. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith and faithfulness. Pursue love and endurance and gentleness. It's the image that when you run away from sin, that you are sprinting into the arms of Jesus Christ. You see, the more you love Jesus, the more you hate sin. And the more I hate my sin, the more I love Jesus Christ. There is a battle within every single person. And let me just help our students here, our younger adults. You're looking at some of our older group and saying, well, they don't struggle like I do. That doesn't mean they don't struggle. There's still a battle in their souls. And what the church is here for is that some of you who have been through the battles can look at some of those who have not yet been through the battles and say, see the scar? Listen, stay in the battle because Jesus will prevail. I was there. Don't give up. I was there. Don't lose heart. I was there. Run from sin. Don't give up. And I believe that when we share the gospel, we are pulling people from the fires of hell. There are some people that just don't have the energy to flee on their own. And God has put us here to pull them with us and say, let's go. Because there's a better way. His name is Jesus Christ. And the reminder that we have in the Word of God is the fight within our lives is not won by your strength. Paul doesn't say, well, you know what? Just flee from sin and white knuckle it. Just try harder. And then you'll be okay. He doesn't say, well, you just need to go to church every day of the week. And then you'll find the answer. He doesn't say, become zealous for legal issues. He doesn't say, become zealous for anything else in your life. It is flee from sin and run to Jesus. What does that look like in your life today? Are you running to Christ faster than you ever have? And this is what we find when we run to Jesus Christ. We find that because Jesus died on the cross for our sin, when you run to Jesus, not only does he have the capacity to forgive you of your sins, but he has the willingness to forgive you of your sins. There's never a time where you go to God with an authentic heart and say, God, I failed you again. Where he says, I've had enough. That's the 101st time you've sinned in that way. And I will forgive 100 sins, but I've had it. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. There is a deep desire in your Heavenly Father to not only forgive because he can, but to forgive because he wants to. Because Jesus has paid the price for your sin. He's paid the price for your redemption. That's why the Bible says that when we run to Christ, when we confess our sins, that he will do what, church? He will forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. So maybe you're here and you're trying as fast as you can to run from sin, but you're not running to Jesus Christ. I want you to know right now that he can forgive you and he is willing to if you come by faith. And there's nothing else in my life that says, I need him more today. Are you running after Jesus? And the answer in the Word of God is never stop running from your sin. And never stop running after Jesus. Never stop pursuing him. Don't give up. Run to him. Find everlasting life and you will be quick to confess and you will find that he is quick to forgive. Church, where does the battle start? It starts right here. But where is the battle won? It's won right here because of Jesus Christ. But the battle doesn't end in my life. The battle continues. And so let's look at how the battle is won because there is hope. The battle is won. There is victory. Look at verse 12 and 13. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. So Paul says that the battle is won when you take hold of eternal life. And so we ask ourselves, how do we take hold of that? I've heard stories that people have grown up in church and I have a friend that he said, I wanted to give my life to Jesus, but I never knew how. He said, I wanted to take hold of eternal life, but no one told me how to do that. So I'm going to tell you how to take hold of eternal life today. It is by confession. It's confession. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The battle is won by confession. And Jesus Christ himself modeled this. Look at verse 13. We confess because in the presence of God who gives life to all and of Christ Jesus, our Savior made the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Confess means to say the same thing. Confession is very simply this. It's to say, God, I recognize what you recognize. I am a sinner. And God, I acknowledge what you already know is that Jesus is a greater Savior than my sin. And there is freedom in confession. The battle is won by confession. Jesus Christ first confessed that he was the Savior, that we might confess him as Savior and find everlasting life. And because of the good confession, because the battle is won by confession, the people of God now should be people of confession. So what does that look like? Several thousand years ago, in a land that was not their own, in the land of Babylon. A king, King Nebuchadnezzar, made a giant statue and he said, I am God, and everyone should bow before the king because the king is God. And everyone who does not will die. Well, there were some God-fearing men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who had a problem with this because they knew that people of the covenant confess Yahweh as Savior and no one else. And so they refused to bow before the little king. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the greatest rulers in the history of the world, brings these men before him. And this is what they say. They say, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to your question. Say, what? They continue. Daniel 3:17. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire. And, by the way, king, he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. Think about that bold confession of faith. But I love this in verse 18. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, as king, that we will not serve your gods. And we will not serve and bow down to the gold statue that you have set up. Church, God's people are confessional people. That's what we do. That's who we are. Even before the times of Daniel, a man named Joshua, looking into the promised land, they've almost conquered all the land, and he's about to pass away. And he's speaking to the people of God. And he says this near the end of his life in Joshua 24, verse 15. He says, if it does not please you to worship the Lord, the covenant name of God, choose for yourself today which you will worship, your gods, the gods of your ancestors that were worshipped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve and worship the Lord. God's people are confessional people. But it doesn't end there. In the New Testament, the church, Jesus has now died and rose again and he ascended into heaven. And what is thought-provoking is that the early church just believed that they should tell people about Jesus dying and rising again. It's a novel concept. And the early Sadducees and the Pharisees, the ruling leaders, were having issues with the early church confessing that Jesus Christ was a risen Savior. And so they gathered Peter and John together, and this is what they said in Acts 4. They said, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name, the name of Jesus, again. So they called for them and they ordered them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 19. So Peter and John answered them. They said this. I don't know their posture, but they probably said it like this. Okay, guys. Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Peter and John just believed that God's people are confessional people. And the excellent confession, the good confession that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the good confession wins the war. The good confession wins the war. This is why we so desire the people of God here to be people of confession. Because we believe Satan wants to silence you and shut you up. That's what he's done for history, for thousands of years. Satan tried to stop and silence the early church. You know what happened? It didn't work. Nebuchadnezzar, through dark forces tried to silence and shut up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, we're not going to do it. God's people are confessional people, and every single person that joins the church here, we ask them to share and confess aloud to others their story of faith. And every time someone shares their story, it brings joy to my heart and tears to my eyes. Because there is power when you confess the name of Jesus. There is power when you confess the name of Jesus Christ. The battle is won, and His name is Jesus. Is He yours, church? Have you ever confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, when's the last time you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That's not a one-time event. We should be confessional and confessing people. The battle is won by the good confession. You say, okay, I get it. So how long does this have to go on? I'm glad you asked. Look what the word says for us. Verse 14. Keep confessing. Keep sharing. Keep living in boldness without fault or failure until what? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word until is a reminder, keep going until Jesus returns. It's the hope that Jesus is returning. So this is what God tells you right now. Listen, some of you are tired and you are worn and you're ready to give up. And God says, don't give up. Confess and live until He comes. Do not lose heart. Christ has already paved the way for you. He has already indwelled you by His Spirit. Do not slow down because He will hold you fast until He returns. You see, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you now live in the land of already and not yet. You have confessed Christ as Lord, and you know He is good and His promises endure, but you know there will be a day when He returns. And the goodness of what God has done combines with the promises of what He will do in your life. And God says, don't give up. Fight the good fight until He returns. It is not a fight that you will lose. Because Christ will hold you fast. Hundreds of years ago, Martin Luther wrote a song that really discusses this fight. It's a hymn that many of you might know. It says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that might be? Christ Jesus. It is He. The Lord of hosts is His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Dear friends, the return of Christ will happen sooner today than it has ever been. Fight the good fight until He returns. And God gave a glimpse to a man named John in Revelation about what this return might look like. Can I read that? He was looking in the heavens and he saw something. And this is how John the Beloved describes this appearing of Jesus Christ in verse 14. In Revelation 19:11, John says this about the appearing that's talked about. He says, I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse, and its rider is called Faithful and True. I love that. It's a reminder that you will never meet anyone more faithful than Jesus Christ. And you will never meet anything or anyone more true than Jesus Christ. And one day He will return, and He judges and makes war. A sharp sword came from His mouth that he might strike the nations with it. He will rule them with an iron rod, and he will also trample the winepress of the fierce anger of God the Almighty. John just blows up some of the art that you have in your house with Jesus returning with a teddy bear and a harp. That's not how the Messiah returns. He will return with a sword, but the sword is from his mouth as a reminder that the battle is won by the confession he has already made on the cross of Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. A confession that has already been won that he made before Pontius Pilate, and it's by the confession of the saints that the battle is won. Church, when was the last time that you confessed that God is who he says he is? And we don't know what the sword has on it, but I believe that engraven on the sword, if John could have just looked a little further, he would have seen engraved on that sword that's coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ these words: "It is finished. The battle is won." And it's by confession that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And in all of this, Paul concludes the letter to 1 Timothy with these words. He says, "Grace be with you all." You see, it's a reminder that you don't fight alone. You fight because of God's grace. Because even Paul recognized you can't on your own. There's not a single person that finds salvation because of what you do. Everyone holds fast to eternal life because of what Jesus did. That's why it's grace. You do not earn it, but it is extended to everyone. But you receive eternal life by the confession that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. So as we enter a time of response, let me just ask you simply, are you winning the war within? Have you been fleeing sin like you should have been fleeing this week? If not, would you spend time and would you confess that before God? Would you say, "God, I have been dancing around sin when I should have been running. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I have not been running to you like I should have been running to you. God, would you forgive me?" There is no better moment to confess your sins than right now. Would you run to Jesus this morning? Are you winning the battle within? Are you a confessing Jesus follower? Church, when's the last time that you said out loud that Jesus is Lord of your life? When's the last time you told your story about what God has done within you? If that's been years and years ago, share what God is doing in your life. The battle is won by the confession of the saints. Satan wants to silence your confession, but the Holy Spirit wants you to shout. Shout the good confession today. Maybe you're here and you're ready to give up. And you said, "I'm just tired." Let me encourage you to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight until he comes. Don't give up. And you're here today because God wants you to be strengthened. And you're here today because God wants to encourage you. He wants to remind you that he will not let you go. Fight the good fight until he comes, because he is coming. And he will win the battle. But the battle is won by confession. And if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why not today? Would you confess and just agree with God what he already knows about you, that you are a sinner and that you can't do it on your own? And would you say this morning to God, "God, would you save me? I surrender my life to you." And this grace that Paul talks about, the grace that could be mine, God, today for the first time, I want to receive that. Because God is able to forgive you. But not only is he able, he is willing. Some fights are worth fighting. Fight the good fight. fight of faith. Father,